You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
We saw last night the movie Sly. It's the movie about Sylvester Stallone, the making of Rocky, his whole acting career, and his basically his life in general, all through the lens of the camera.
Yeah.
His success. And people think, oh, you know, maybe they only see him as the actor. Where he plays that, you know, the Rocky type character, the Rambo, or that one with the group
Expendables,
these three types. So he has franchises in these types of movies, and he's been very successful with it. What we were surprised at is that the actual story of Sylvester Stallone and how he became the character Rocky, it's an amazing story. It's not one of, oh, it took no effort. He couldn't get cast as a character in or a leading man because, one, he had a kind of paralyzation of part of his face from when he was born. He started playing little roles as thugs because that's all they would cast him, like a supporting character. And he really wanted to be in movies. That's all he thought about. That's since he was a little kid, he thought that's what he wanted to do. And this is a little bit of paraphrasing about the movie, but he decided that he needed to write. So before the making of Rocky, he had completed something like 16 screenplays.
We're not destroying the story with the people want to see the
right.
show, yeah.
But it's what's really interesting about the whole thing is the actual amount of effort that he put in.
And consistent and move forward.
Keep going. He did make a couple of good comments in the movie, which I'll let you watch. It's really a good movie. It gives you a much broader perspective on Sylvester Stallone, the artist, the writer, the director, and the actor. That gave us the thought of,
what is the title for our show?
Today's show, The Effort Dilemma. The effort dilemma.
The llama or dilemma?
It's not a lemon, it's not a llama. It's dilemma.
Dilemma.
So it's the problem, the challenge of effort. Because it almost seems like the more effort you make, like psychologically and physically, it feels that the more effort you make to have to do something, the less successful you are at doing it. At least that's what people think. Somebody who wants to climb a mountain, become a mountain climber, or you just have an idea, you know, what do I want to do with my life? And I want to go and climb a mountain. I think it would be really cool to go up to the top of a mountain and see the world from 10,000 feet in the air. I've never done it. So should I just go out and start climbing a mountain? How successful would I be?
Yeah, you need some kind of training, learning.
Right. But I can have the dream, right? I can dream of climbing a mountain and just never do it. I can watch other people climb a mountain and never do it. So the effort dilemma is that the goal of climbing the mountain isn't the effort you're putting in as you're climbing the mountain. It's all the stuff you're doing ahead of time to prepare for the climbing of the mountain. And when you are successful in preparing for climbing the mountain, then it appears that climbing that mountain takes little effort. Even though it's very difficult, when you, like if you talk to someone who's climbed mountains for years, you're like, oh, it's so easy for you. For me, it's so difficult. You know, and the point is, it's not easy for them. It's that they have the capacity and they've done the activity where they've grown in both activity and capacity to a point where it seems like effortless success.
Mm-hmm.
So the point that we're going to work on today is how to get to a point in your life, in whatever it is, where it seems like effortless success, although you will have known you've put in the activity and you've increased your capacity to be successful in whatever that is.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So we're going to look at those two dimensions, mm-hmm. right? Dimension of capacity, dimension of activity.
Right, for you. And there is all of that.
And those two things, because it's effort in both of those things that lead you to what appears to be success without effort.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we'll talk about karate, we'll talk about music, we'll talk about business as we continue on with today's show. So, some of the questions, what do we have here? What is effort? Why do some people seem to effortlessly achieve success? And why do others struggle with thinking or doing? So they have a thinking or doing struggle. Like, it's so much of an effort, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know where to begin. It's so hard. Since it's so hard and I can't think, I'm just going to not do it, but I want to do it. So it's a dream,
mm-hmm.
and they can't take that step of making it a reality. So, for instance, and I'm going to go back to us for a moment here, is that we've written a number of books now, you know, and we've helped 8 people write their books, maybe more than that by this point. But we have just a couple right here on the desk, which is How to Write a Book in 90 Days. 90 Day Soulmate, The Story of Love. Oh, here's one on HR. It's on E6. It's for excellence. It's a little bit about human resources from my, what is that, IO, Industrial and Organizational Psychology studies that I did. We've written the book called While Victoria Dreams. Before we wrote any books, we didn't have any idea what we were doing. And that was a struggle, right?
Yeah.
So a couple of things is that we both went to school. We were talking about this before the show.
Mm-hmm.
What was your undergrad degree in?
Information engineer.
Information engineer. Why did you go on with your degree? Why did you go to the next degree?
Because I feel that I need to combine my career with something else to have a better view of the business. So I've been to industrial engineer master degree.
And you had to study and do courses and learn and build your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and experience in that area.
Yes.
But without it, could you do what you do today without the different educational backgrounds you had?
Maybe, but it'll become difficult because you have one really good fundamental knowledge that is easy to guide at any kind of process in my current life or work.
And in my situation, I went for engineering. I dropped out of school. I went back to school. You know, why go to school? I wanted to be a musician at some point. I was terrible, not terrible at being a musician, but I thought I was creative. But there was thousands of really good musicians. And I realized, you know what, I need to earn something. So I ended up going back to school. I thought that was so much of an effort. Why go to school? I'm never going to use it. And then from engineering, I'm like, okay, I'll go into sales,
mm-hmm.
because I liked activity more than sitting behind a desk and doing things. I'd fall asleep behind a desk.
Again.
What? No snoring back then, though. Just now. I snore now. But the point was, is that at that point, I'm going, okay, I'm an engineer, but I'm in sales. How do I relate to the business people better that I'm trying to sell things to, engineered systems? I thought maybe an MBA, a master's in business administration, would help me relate to the people I'm trying to sell to try to relate our systems and their benefits to what they do in their business. So it wasn't that I just am going to school for education for just, what is that called? Education's sake.
Mm-hmm.
The goal was I wanted to make it easier for me to sell at a higher level by doing work now and preparing, increasing my capacity,
mm-hmm.
and doing activity. So increasing capacity while doing the activity that move you towards the success.
Exactly.
So this is going to be our continued conversation today. I have a great picture, Lizette.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can find it here. We have a larger gentleman and a smaller gentleman. We have a jockey, and I guess the jockey's buddy, who knows who this other gentleman is. In any case, I saw this picture and I thought, if there is a 50-pound weight on the ground, who would have an easier time picking it up? Who would have to expend more effort in picking it up? So what if what if the weight was 200 pounds and maybe the big guy was strong?
Mm-hmm.
Would he pick it up and exert more effort or less effort than the small guy? And what if the small guy couldn't pick it up and the big guy could?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before the show. What if the big guy had health issues, cardiovascular issues, lung issues, that his lung heart system, his arm system, that he looked big, but he was really weak.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to pick it up, but his heart really beat hard. He fell over, couldn't do it. Where the little guy put all his effort in and was able to pick it up because he's an athlete. He's able to lift. The small guy might be really strong.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if they both pick up the 200-pound weight, who put in more effort? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because that we read a research paper on the perception of effort.
Yeah.
Part is the actual physical, you know, you lifted something and it was 200 pounds, so you put in a weight-based, you know, the force necessary to move this thing. You put it in, they put it in, it was the same effort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, psychologically, one person may feel like it was at the top of whatever they could lift.
The kind of the noise they make.
And I put in so much effort, and the other person just picks it up. Now, they both actually put in the same amount of physical effort because the physical movement was this much. But emotionally, mentally, how they felt about it, all these other things come into play. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in today. So there's force-based, the study talks about three different ways of measuring effort, or at least measuring the perception of effort. One is force-based. When you lift a weight, there's a force that's needed to lift the weight. But there's also the physical aspect of it, you know, the muscles that come into play, and the cognitive, the brain and what it's thinking, and the stress that is self-induced just from thinking about it, is that we can stress ourselves out. You know, the mind, you know, can worry. I got to lift this thing. I'm worried about it. I'm already starting to get shakes. I know I'm going to hurt afterwards because it was a workout and it was at my extreme limit of my ability. And your brain can create this perception of effort. It's like anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So is that more effort? Or is it the perception of effort? Again, a lot of times we perceive effort because we don't have the capacity to do something and we haven't done successfully the activity before. We haven't built on our capacity, haven't built on the doing part. And so the effort feels like we can't do it. It's such an effort. Where somebody else who has put in the time to mentally understand that they can do it and put in the action to be able to physically do it may say, oh, I can do it and no problem. And now it really is the same force needed, but one was psychologically inducing stress, which they perceived as effort, and the other one was just doing it and they didn't perceive it as much effort at all. So who really actually did have more effort?
It's difficult to measure.
The other we talk about is the knowledge and processing power. So when it comes to like arithmetic, so you give two people a problem to do, paper, you know, you're in school and maybe it's an English class, maybe it's math, maybe it's science, and you have to do something. If somebody has more knowledge on how to do it and they have more practice and they have more processes for actually understanding how to do it, they may think it's easy. And the other person may have no idea what they're doing, or they think they might, and they might spend hours trying to figure it out. And mentally, they've made all this additional effort, but it could be in the wrong direction. So is effort that's applied in the wrong direction actually effort?
Yeah, can be.
It can be.
Yeah.
So when you're struggling with something and you're doing it the wrong way, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit as well, you're spending effort, but you're not getting results. So knowing where to put the effort is part of the knowledge and capacity, right? You're building your capacity to do something, and it reduces the effort because then you start to learn what's the proper way, the direction of where you should be spending your effort. So that's one. Let's go to the second one here. Mediation-based. Oh, here we go. Let's bring it up on screen. So capacity versus task performance, meaning if I have additional capacity, I went to school for an engineering degree and now I'm doing basic math, and they put me up against a kindergartner to do some advanced math problems, I have some capacity, and so my performance in that task should be better. So what happens if two people have similar capacity but different performance outcomes?
Maybe found different result. So the performance is different.
What was this mediation based effort is, what were the mediating factors that got in the way of the capacity and the performance? And so that mediating factors, that was how they were measuring effort. So this is the second measure of effort, which is, okay, you've got the capacity, and here when you try to do something, maybe you're worried. Maybe it's at work and you're in sales and you're making a sales call. And now you have the same capacity as another salesperson to make that sale, but you just had a problem at home with your significant other that the house was flooding and you had to leave to make the sales call, and that's all you're thinking about. So now you're trying to make that sales call and all these other things are going on in your mind, which makes it, you have to take effort to start thinking about the sales thing and not thinking about what's going on at home. So these things can change your outcome. So you have the same capacity, but these mediating items, these things like the flood at home, makes it feel like it's more effort for you to get this done. Oh, it's so easy for you. So difficult for me. You don't have the same problems I have at home.
Exactly.
Right? So we use these things as ways of explaining away why I'm not getting the same results that someone else is getting. Or they're not getting the same results as me because I make more effort. It may have nothing to do with that. It may actually be that you have more capacity and more experience, and therefore it's easier for you because you aren't going in the wrong direction on things. So you're making less effort, really less physical and mental effort to get something successfully done. And somebody who's putting more effort in but in the wrong direction isn't getting the same results.
Like when you mentioned that, I'm reading a book about the brain. Based upon the theory that some woman is multitasking and men know, something like that, the article talking about the brain really need to be focused on one thing if you want to do that. You maybe have something in the same time, but your brain be focused on something. So if you are distracting, so you have, like you say, the same capacity to people, but your brain is trying to do multitasking, maybe the performance is different.
So if I know somebody who has like attention disorder, and they get distracted a lot over little simple things and they can't actually remember what they were just doing, that person may think they need more of an effort to get something done. However, when they are really focused on something, they can focus in a way that someone else can't. And therefore, it almost seems like less effort. So it's both. You can...
I see also for our day, I have a team members and I see team members really... in the middle of the hour is listen, is document, make the word, or there is just listen or make a note. And then at the end, when I collect the information, I see the difference between one to the other. We have the same room, the same meeting, but the outcome, how document, the result is different. So I see the other person maybe say, oh, let me today to do my report. Yeah, I see the people is working in the middle of the night and send to you the report. The other doing and the send.
Right away.
Yeah, right away. Yeah.
So when we come back, we're going to talk more about capacity and effort and the way to measure effort in something that you do, and why people are getting better results with less effort, or worse results with more effort. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll, by the end of today's show, we'll kind of understand how to focus our effort to get the best results. We'll be back after this message.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about effort. The effort dilemma. Meaning, what really is effort? What do we struggle with? What is easy? What do we believe is easy for somebody? For instance, you see Barry Manilow. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, I'm like, oh my gosh, amazing voice, great songwriter. And I would look at him and I'm going, he was born with that. It's so easy for him, right? Because mm-hmm. he makes it look effortless. But yet, like we talked about Sylvester Stallone, probably wrote songs for years, worked on music, and you only see the result. And when you see the result, you're going, oh,
he's lucky. Lucky person.
Now, there are people who are born with certain aspects to what they are and who they are to make certain things easier for them. Like there are some people who may never be able to carry a tune.
No. So I see people, they're born so smart. Mm-hmm. A kid like that, you see, oh, this is a genius kid, and then grew up and is no use this talent in anything.
They have the capacity, mm-hmm. but they don't know how to. Maybe they aren't emotionally smart. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to use that emotionally smart. Emotionally intelligent. Like they have this capacity, but they have a hard time dealing with people. Maybe they're very introverted and they're very shy. So they can't take that capacity and translate it into a business meeting with other people because they can't relate to those mm-hmm. other people.
Yeah.
So like that. And I remember going to school and I told you about the one kid in my class, and he was like a 4.0 student, aced everything he did. But he sat there and he rocked at his desk, and he really didn't talk with anyone. He was really smart and likable guy, but really quiet, and he would never speak up. But he really had the capacity to do math and science and engineering unlike anybody else in our class. So it can be, you got to have that balance, right?
Yeah.
So the balance of capacity and activity, mm-hmm. and part of activity is interfacing with other people. So let's go back to this mediation-based perception of effort. How about people who have varying capacity but similar performance? You grow up with somebody, and I remember when I was in seventh grade, one of the kids in my class looked like he was already 18. He was almost 6 foot tall. He had muscles. He looked like he should be able to do anything physically. But he never really applied physical stuff. He didn't get involved in sports. Mm-hmm. He was big like he could, but he didn't. So in gym class, when you would do a sport with him, he didn't know how to dribble a basketball. He didn't know how to throw a football. He just kind of stood and was big. And so the little kids who didn't have what would have been his capacity, his natural capacity, mm-hmm. would run circles around him, literally. Mm-hmm. And I think I talked about this too, is that I grew up as the little kid, right? So I was a little kid, and I was playing with my brother and the older kids on the street. So I was one of the little kids on the street. And you'd always try to play with the older kids, which made you push your physical limit. Mm-hmm. And so you would tend to develop a little bit faster because you were trying to keep up with kids who were a year, two, 3 years older physically than you.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you got to be their age, you were already a little bit physically ahead on some of the skill development, some of the strength development. So that can be the opposite, is say there's an older person growing up with younger people, and if they tend to play and do things on the younger person's level, they may not be pushing themselves physically and mentally.
Yeah, because they have the situation.
They don't have the situation.
Yeah.
So a lot of this is conditional.
Mm-hmm.
What your parents, what your family, what your environment's like.
It's a lot of variance, yes.
Oh, and here's another one. So does effort itself mediate performance? That's a good question. So does the effort you put in give you better performance or not? And again, it's, is it the effort in the right direction?
Yeah.
So you could put a lot of effort in and not have the capacity. I mean, I don't already have the knowledge to do it, but I'm putting a lot of effort in, and no matter what I do, I'm coming up with the wrong answer. Mm-hmm. Or I'm putting a lot of effort in playing basketball, but when it comes to shooting, I don't actually know how to shoot. So I'm putting a lot of effort in.
Yeah.
So sometimes effort can overcompensate for a lack of ability.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, on the other hand, you can put in a lot of effort and it actually does nothing to help. Let's move on to the next one, which is a little bit more. And we just talked about this. You put in more effort, but you're doing an incorrect performance. And then there's stuff like a ceiling effect. And I thought this was kind of interesting. So physically, how much effort, does it matter how much effort, the perceived effort? You have a big guy and a small guy, and they go to lift a truck. And they both try to lift the truck, and neither of them can lift the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Who put in more effort?
Same question before, we don't know.
If you get no result, does it even matter?
Yeah.
So all of this is really based upon the idea of you want to get a result. Because once you get a result, you have something that gives you feedback. It's a feedback loop to understand, do I need to do something different to do it better and easier next time? But if you get no result, you don't know what's wrong. Oh, I need to be stronger to lift this truck. But what if this truck is so heavy that no matter how strong you got, you could never lift it? Then you had to start using your brain and going, I need leverage. Ooh, I don't know anything about the theory of leverage. I need to know what a fulcrum is. I need to know the distance from the fulcrum times the weight here has to be equal to the distance of the fulcrum here times the weight here. And I now know something in my knowledge that allows me to now lift the truck because I know fulcrums. So it's do I have a ceiling effect based upon one of the aspects of something that I have? Physical quantity, high jump. You can't high jump 20 feet, but if you have a pole, maybe you can pole vault 20 feet. So it's that interaction. The other is solving a quantum equation.
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody who's in elementary school, somebody who is in middle school. They have certain levels of math. The one in middle school is way beyond the one in elementary school. You give them both a quantum math problem about where an atom is in its rotation around a neutron, and go calculate it. And they have no idea what to do. It doesn't matter that one's here and one's here. That ceiling effect is they can't get to it.
It's a limit. Yeah.
So these are all mediation based. Is the amount of effort, does it change the outcome? And then finally, there's something called, so the first one was force-based, the second was mediation, and the third one is resource-based. The amount of mobilizing, investing resources on trying to get an outcome. Are these depletable or infinite resources? There's an assumed relationship between resources and performance. And effortful versus non-effortful actions. So let's go about what resource-based is. Resource-based could be something like this, is that we need to move rocks from the backyard to the front yard.
I remember that. Okay.
So I need a shovel, I need a wheelbarrow, I need these things, and I'm going to get that stuff, go, load it, and do it. And then I've applied resources. So there was effort involved in getting the resources and doing this. So what if they're depletable or infinite. The wheelbarrow maybe is infinite, that I can continue to use the wheelbarrow over and over and over. But if it's something that is used up in the process, it becomes depletable. Mm-hmm. So measuring the effort needed based upon all the resources that you have to apply to get it done is another one of
varying
and also measuring effort.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those things could be is that I need to play another team in baseball. So I got to go to my friends' homes, knock on their door and say, "Hey, Jimmy, hey, Bobby, hey, Sue, do you want to play baseball? Can I get your bat, bring your ball, bring your gloves?" And you get the team together. Now you've created a network of people. You've gone, you've played that game. You may or may not win, but you put in an effort to get resources together. And you can say, "I had the knowledge of who the players were. I knew what equipment was needed for the game. I knew where to direct them to go. I knew what position each person had to play in."
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, quote, an effort. And it's an effort of collecting and assigning resources.
Synergy.
Mm-hmm. And utilizing other people. So
yeah.
Part of my capacity and activity, and we're doing these two dimensions, capacity and activity, is networking, knowing people. Who do I need for these things? And these are things that we have to increase our capacity in order to understand and do the activity to see what challenges we face to figure out what do I not know? What resources do I need? The more we can learn and increase our knowledge and our capacity physically and mentally,
mm-hmm.
and the more we can actively pursue whatever it is we're trying, whether it's guitar, business, karate, mountain climbing, the more we get involved in those two dimensions, the activity itself and learning and physically being more capable of doing something, the quicker we can move to that point of
the target,
as well as look like, oh, it's effortless for you. And it's effortless for you when you know what you're doing, you've got the capacity to do it, and you've been doing the activity and you're taking daily activity. Here are a couple things. I think this is one of these is your example here, and maybe we'll just go here. So factors that, motivation, capacity, effort, and performance. So we're going to roll motivation in here too. Is that sometimes people have the capacity to do something, but what mediates performance or effort is motivation. You want to tell that 33-person corporate retreat story?
Yeah, that is interesting. So we have one corporate call us to say we need to train all top management for 3 or 4 different countries,
mm-hmm.
and one training for 3 days and one farm. So we set up completely the farm for different challenge. So like the people do physical and mental challenge to be involved all team. We have some target to achieve. So one of the training is we have a big lake. In the middle of the lake is an island. So we put a curve and the people need to go.
Like a rope cord?
Rope cord. Yeah. Need to go to the one to the middle.
Okay.
Like that. Okay. And then it's 33 people, different age, different shape.
Okay.
You have all managers. And the surprise for us is everyone, and also one physical guy that looks like he has the capacity, he do that in the middle of falling in the water. So, and the 33, just 2 person
mm-hmm.
can achieve from the beginning to the end.
So what's different about them?
Okay, so one is a woman and one fat guy. So I start to say, what is the difference for these 2 people? Is the only 2 people new in the company. So the old people have more than 5 years in the company. These people have just 3 weeks was hired and pushing in this training. So our analysis that they want to show they are strong or the best for the company. So sometimes it's motivation.
They haven't learned incorrect performance yet.
Yeah, maybe.
They haven't joined the team yet. They needed to fall in the water to be part of the team. But that's interesting. So yeah, they want to prove themselves, and they go to that extra effort to prove themselves, and maybe the others are like, you know what, this is a retreat, I really don't care.
Why do you need to do the effort? That's interesting. Yeah, do the effort to the end. And yeah, that's training have many, many interesting, learn also for us that we are the trainers. Yeah.
So another one in here is, and maybe you've heard this story out there, which is the Army Jeep. So going back, and I don't know what war this was in, but there were four guys in an Army Jeep, and they were going down a path, let's just call it a jungle path. And as they were coming down this path, they heard gunfire ahead. And the lead guy in the Jeep told them, he goes, hey, there's gunfire ahead. We got to turn the Jeep around and go backwards. But there was no room to actually turn the Jeep around. So they all jumped out of the Jeep, went into the jungle for a moment. And you know the story. They talk to each other, and the leader goes, okay, we have one chance to survive this, one chance to survive, or they're going to come and ambush us and kill us. We have to go out there, everyone grab a corner of the Jeep, pick it up, and we're going to turn the Jeep 180 degrees. We're just going to pick it up and turn it around. But we have one chance to do this. We've got to do this now. Okay, everyone ready, ready. You're going to die if you don't do it. You're going to help each other out. They run out onto the road, lift the Jeep up, turn it around 180 degrees, jump in, and you know, with bullets flying over their head, they make it back to the camp. So they tell this story, and I heard this years ago, so this could have been who knows how old. They tell this story to their buddies at camp, and the buddies at camp say, there's no way you lifted the Jeep up. And they're like, yeah, we did. This is what happened. And so they were bet by the other guys that they couldn't lift the Jeep up. So the four of them go out, they go to the corners of the Jeep, and one, two, three, they can't pick the Jeep up. And you know the whole story, and I'm assuming many of you know the story. It's the motivation, the adrenaline. Life or death situation.
Yeah.
And when it wasn't life or death anymore, but it was just a bet, you know, the honor of a bet, the whole situation changed. So the motivating factor in these things can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're just doing a proposal because you just have to do a proposal, compared to do a proposal where the survival of your company is based upon the outcome of this proposal, your motivation to do it right and do it clearly.
And review and check it, verify everything is good and attractive for the proposal,
So motivation is a mediating factor in the application of effort. It actually increases your capacity physically and mentally. So it can give you the adrenaline to physically do something. It can also give you the focus with somebody who has a little bit of lack of focus. It can give you the focus to do something that you wouldn't normally be able to do, given all the free time, like for me personally, to put together a presentation. I do best when I have limited time and I have to get it done because there's a show that has to go on the air.
Exactly, like this, 10 minutes ago.
But if I had 3 weeks to work on the presentation, it's like those guys in camp trying to lift the Jeep. Just doesn't happen, doesn't get done. When we come back, we're going to talk more about motivating factors, effort, and performance on the Effort Dilemma with Lizette
and Jim
on 90 Day Soulmate.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. We just talked about three ways of measuring effort, which is force-based, which is mediating-based, what type of mediators make a change in performance, and the last one was resource-based, what kind of resources are necessary, whether it's your own resources in your brain, your body, or outside physical elements like a wheelbarrow, friends, baseball players. We talked about that. Putting a baseball team together, if you needed to get somebody's help on a business proposal. Those would be the types of things, reaching out to people to help you. the resources that you are able to employ. Now, it may reduce your own effort by having the ability to network with those other people, but part of the effort is knowing who those people are, knowing where the resources are, what's the best way of putting them together to get the outcome. Part of the effort is you can make a big effort, but get the wrong people with the wrong equipment to do the wrong action, and you do all this what appears to be effort. But if it doesn't get you the performance,
what did you expect?
Is that more or less effort? Mm-hmm. You know, is the person who knows the people to get, the resources to get, and what needs to be done, and can do it in one-third the time, are they doing it and it's so easy for them? Or have they already put in the work necessary and the effort necessary to get to that point, increase their physical and mental capacity and the activity of doing? Part of the effort is why. Why should we do it? What's the motivation? We talked about the motivating factor, and as well as action. One last thing that I want to mention on action is if you're trying to achieve something, if it's learn something new, work on something new, increase your business, be an actor, be a musician, be a sports person, you want to do some kind of daily action, early action, often action. Action itself leads you to what's next. What do I need to know next? You can think, and I think the best thing to do is go to that chart. Let's see if we can find the chart here. Wrong button here. I'm going to go right here. This is our 90-day performance chart. When you start something new, if you see in the bottom left there, when you have low capacity and you're doing low activity, you're basically dreaming. You come up with ideas. You come up with what you'd like to do. But you're really setting goals and desires. We've talked about this before. We've talked about the law of attraction. You can focus on something. You can think about something. But until you start doing, until you start the action of trying to achieve something, you don't start figuring out what you need to learn and what you need to do to make the law of attraction actually work for you, which is you can be focusing on something, but once you start learning, you understand what you need to learn. And once you start doing, you understand what you need to do. That's when the law of attraction works for you. But until then, when you're just saying, I want to climb a mountain, and you're not doing any activity, it becomes just a dream. Let's go to the next thing. We've talked about that a little. So down in the bottom left, when you're just starting off, and this is how somebody starts learning. This is how somebody starts a business. This is how you start in music or in karate, that you have an idea, mountain climbing. I've got a dream. Now you start thinking mentally and physically, what do I need to do to prepare to be able to do this? Maybe it's you want to be an accountant, so you need to go to school for accounting. So you start working on the mental and physical preparation as you're doing some activity towards it. And what typically happens is that you think you're really prepared and you think you're at the top of that mental and physical preparedness. And then as you're doing the activity, you realize what you don't know. Mm-hmm. You realize that, yes, I'm really good at climbing a mountain using my hands and feet, but there's periodically times where I need to only use my hands to get from one ridge to the other, and physically I haven't prepared. So now I'm realizing I have a lot more to learn. You know, there's this thing about I don't know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now you start to know and then start to realize what you don't know, and now you know what you need to learn and what activities, right? Mm-hmm. So I like this is that if you look at this curve that goes through these four quadrants, you go from your dreams, your goals, your visions, to the preparation and now activity. The one thing that we put in here in this chart is failing. There's going to be doldrums and storms, times when there's no wind, times when there's wind at your face and waves at your front. But if you're doing the activity and you feel like you're failing, you're learning. You're learning what it takes to prepare more mentally and physically, what you need to be doing, so you can then get into what we call effortless success, or what appears to others as effortless success. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's so good at playing the trumpet that it just seems like they can just play anything. You know, that you've seen tennis players that are just so good. How can they hit a ball that fast?
Yeah.
That it seems effortless, but they've put in so much work to appear effortless. Let's talk about I know you wanted to talk about the rest of the arrow, right? So.
It's okay.
No? We'll talk about the rest of the arrow now. We'll come back to some other stuff in a minute here. The rest of the arrow is that when you've done loads and loads of mental and physical preparation, and you've done the activity, and you start learning all these things you need to do, and you failed, and you start to become successful, there's a point where you are doing things with the network of people you know, the tools that you have, the resources you have for research, for making a presentation, for presenting in front of other people. You're doing that and it seems effortless. Maybe there's a point in time where you want to now share your success
to others,
or maybe it's not even your success, but your process of success.
Yeah.
And when you can share a process of a success, it's teaching someone to fish and not giving them a fish.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And you inspire people.
Whatever it is that you do, you can help someone learn how to follow your process and do it. If you've been through the trial and errors, when you've gone through the failing, you can help them. And maybe part of it is you've got to help them fail faster. Mm-hmm. Help them learn. Do the activity. Do it wrong. Get it right. We talked about, what was it, karate? Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go, karate. So here's three examples. Karate, music and mountain climbing, business success. Actually, that's four examples. But let's just talk about karate for a moment. My dream is to be a black belt. So I go to a karate class and I tell the sensei, I want to be a black belt. Teach me the black belt katas. And I want to be a black belt now. I want to test to be a black belt. And the guy's like, what? You need to be a white belt. You need to know that you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And you need to know that you have to learn not only the correct positions of all, where a punch comes from, where a kick comes from, the stances, the power. You have to learn that and the discipline. And mentally, you have this path of development that has been put together over hundreds, if not thousands of years in some of these disciplines, of how you are brought through the ranks, where one rank builds upon the next and the next and the next and the next. There's time, there's action, there's knowledge, there's physical capacity, physical. So again, the capacity is grown in knowledge and physical areas, and the activity is done. But there's a path to do it.
Yeah.
So when you see a black belt doing a kata, and it looks beautiful, and it looks like there's very little effort without mind, right? They're supposed to do it without mind?
Mm-hmm. No.
No?
You have to use your mind.
But you prepare yourself through repetitive processes where it appears to somebody onlooking like, wow, you know, that it's an amazing aspect. Business success comes the same way. Is that very infrequently does somebody just start a business and it's successful. Even if you start a food truck, if I wanted to start a food truck and I've never done anything with food before and I've never owned a truck before and I don't even know how to drive, it's going to be kind of difficult.
Yeah.
Am I a good cook? Do I make good food? Where do I park? What permits do I need? I don't know any of this stuff. So you have to do research and you have to do activity. Research and activity. Should we move to the last thing here? We're almost done. I think we're pretty close to done. We've got 10 minutes here.
Wow.
So I'm going to go to our last slide then, which is right here. Performance. Your performance in anything you do, the greater your capacity and the more directed your activity, the less effort others believe you make. When you get to a point where you've got tremendous capacity and stuff you've learned and things you've done, physically and mentally, and you've gotten years of that activity under your belt, experience, you know what you shouldn't be doing. You know the areas you shouldn't be wasting your time in. You know, anything that takes brain power, physical ability, and experience, it looks like you are effortlessly being successful when you've put all the effort in to build your capacity and do the activity. Thank you for watching 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Have a great, successful, and effortless week.
See you next.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.